Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. With us, Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. I'm Jim Galante. Mike, how are we doing this week?
We're doing good. A lot of things going on. Busy week, transfer portal, a lot of complaining from the national media and coaches. So it's been fun to hear, and hopefully we'll get some change here with the calendar, make it a little bit easier, make sense moving forward.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. It's absolute insanity, and I know a lot of people are complaining. I keep waiting to hear better solutions. And anything that anyone has as a solution, there's typically a counterpoint to it. I think for Penn State fans, this is just absolute insanity, not used to it. And I think it also points to one thing, Mike. I know James Franklin has become the whipping boy on a lot of fronts, if you're the Penn State audience. But he kind of kept us from this craziness of the transfer portal for many years. For better or for worse, we didn't have to deal with this insanity.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. I think the way that it's set up this year, the calendars, the change from two portal windows to one, I think everybody's experiences at the same time. So. Cool. I think that's why you're getting so much backlash collectively across the country. It's just not like one coach or two. It's, I think every coach is feeling this.
Well, let's talk about that calendar. There's that conflict. We'll talk about the second transfer period that used to happen, but now we're doing just one. The timing of it, I'm not sure there's any way to avoid doing it now. If players want to be able to transfer and get to their new school, either for the semester start or probably more importantly to the players, spring practice. So is there any advantage to either moving it up or back from where it is right when it is right now?
I've heard a couple of things. I like the idea of moving the season up to 2 weeks. Right. So, and it's kind of like I think Dan Lanning said, every Saturday is in December is college football. You end with the national championship that first weekend of January. Then the portal opens up for whatever. The only reason why I don't like that is because it's such a time crunch with admissions and getting the kids in. And it puts a lot of stress on administration to get things moving. I like the idea of having the portal in May and then having a kind of a OTAs spring ball type of deal in May. So they get there, but they kind of get there and it gives you some time to relax, reset, and guys aren't going in this. You know, I have friends that, you know, I got a friend at Indiana and, you know, they were practicing and getting ready for Alabama Rose Bowl, arguably the biggest game in the history of their program, and you know they're stressing and trying to fit in these meetings at night and in the morning, somewhere in the middle of the day between practices, to figure out their portal strategy. Like, I just think that's unfair to teams. I think just the whole player retention, recruiting your entire roster every year isn't sustainable. It's just a mess. So I don't think this is a James Franklin thing. This is a college football problem. And it's got to change in the calendar. NIL and stuff, that all gets worked out. And Congress will need to come in and step in. But, you know, the commissioners of these conferences need to get together. But I think you heard Nick Saban said that they have the most power to get things done, but they have all of their agenda. So it's sad. It doesn't. It's sad from like our standpoint. You know, we're in the thick of it. We love football. We love it. We're a fan of college football. But most fans don't really realize the stress and how much sense this doesn't make you know, so because the product's great, ratings are great, you know, that game, that Ole Miss game was great, but you know, collectively it's a mess. But I think the calendar is one thing that you change, and I would be a proponent of moving it to May, the spring calendar or the spring portal.
I on the surface, I think that makes sense. I'm trying to think it through. What is the downside of moving it to the spring? Who's advocating for the portal now as opposed to later in the year?
I think the coaches every year, they get a couple suggestions from the committees, and they kind of roll with it, and they're kind of like a victim of that present time, because they're just thinking right now. And because they asked for this calendar change, right? And
yes.
Now we all hate it. So I think it's just, you wish you had a commissioner, somebody up top making the calls, because like you don't have somebody like that. You don't know like who the president of college football is. And I think you need somebody.
And there is, the NCAA is powerless. We learned that. And as Nick Saban said, that the conferences, specifically the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference, carry the most weight. And I guess, Mike, I'm just trying to figure out whose advantage is it to have the portal now as opposed to, as you suggested, later in the year. And the only thing I could think of is, you know, the coaches who want the players in as soon as possible. You know,
yeah, but that doesn't mean, yeah, but that, it's unfair to all the other coaches and all the other teams. And then it's going to be unfair to these teams that, you know, the Bo Pribulas that got to make decisions while they're on a playoff team. It's slipping my mind, but I think somebody, I think Ole Miss Simmons, he went in the portal. You know, he had announced his name because at that position, those spots, there's only one quarterback, right? That right. starts. So, and especially for a kid like that, he came in thinking he was going to be the QB1 and then, you know, gets hurt, and you know, the rest is history. But yeah, like situations like that sucks. I mean, and it's you're proposing tampering if you're doing that, because the portal isn't supposed, you're not supposed to be talking to these guys until January 2nd. But as you all know, but as everybody knows,
it happens.
But so then how do programs have full weekends of official visits set up without talking to these guys? You know, like it's so bad. And the NCAA, they just don't want to get sued. They are so pigeonholed now that they have nothing. I thought there was a glimpse of hope for them, especially when we got the new president. But I think like they don't get any help from Congress. They don't get any help because they just get sued and they lose. And then in turn, they're losing a ton of money. So, you know, I remember Brent Pry telling me this a long time ago. He says, he asked us how old, me and another buddy in his office talking, and he goes, "How old are you guys?" And we tell them, he's like, "You guys are screwed with the way that college football climate is." Like, well, thanks. You know, and then it's bad. It's bad. All right. It's unfortunate because, gosh, especially this new staff that we have here, you know, there's no routine right now to anything. It's just like, it's running and gunning. But that's everywhere.
Well, and the problem too, like you mentioned, you know, brought up the example of Bo Pribula this year, the quarterback from Ole Miss. And the problem is, you know, as is often the case with legal issues, is you balance the rights of individuals versus the good of the group. So in this situation where the portal is right now, you have four teams that are in the playoffs right now who it's totally and completely unfair. But for the 100-some other teams, players are now capable of making the move before the semester starts. So it's how do you, you know, it's all a balancing act. I kind of like your idea of just pushing the one window to the end of the school year. And, you know, the miss spring practice thing is allow for the summer practice and everyone's on an equal footing. So I'm absorbing your idea. The more I think about it, the more logical it seems.
And look, I'm no czar. I've just been through the routine and the college football calendar ups and downs for the last decade. And it's just every year, support staff and coaches ask each other, is this ever going to get better? And then they make a change and then it's maybe better or maybe worse. And it's just, it's like a hamster wheel and it sucks. But how about this? What makes things even crazier is you have Ole Miss and their staff during the portal with coaches that are going to LSU who would love to have Chambliss and some of these other cats that they recruited to Ole Miss to go to LSU where they're going to get a paycheck. That is insanity. The normal fans out there that just like turning on, they have no idea of this mess. There's no company that is structured like this. There's no company that would last.
You know, it's funny you brought that up because I often try to compare what's going on in the college sports world to the real world. Okay. The real world, most places where I've worked, when someone says, hey, I'm resigning, I'm putting in my 2-week notice, they get escorted out the door because their loyalties now have shifted from our company to their new company. And we can't have that mixed loyalty. So those coaches on Ole Miss, where's their loyalty? Ole Miss or LSU? It's probably with the new job.
Yeah, I just wonder, are they just allowed to do whatever they want in the office? Because I know, when people have not gotten fired, whatever the case be, fired, new job, and they leave. Usually there's a director of football ops, and it's usually motivated by the head coach to get all their login, username, credentials, everything scratched ASAP. But yeah, these guys, they're in your office. They're using the computers.
Exactly, and accumulating that information, compiling it. It is a mess, Mike. All right, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to talk about. I got so many more questions for you when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving 30-some Penn State sports, over 800 student-athletes. With us, Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, we spent a good portion of segment number one just talking about how frustrating this whole, transfer portal situation is. And we haven't even really gotten to the portal itself and the number of players that are moving. And I kind of want to ask you a philosophical question about this. When I started saying, previously, Penn State fans have not had to deal with this, the transfer portal. And it's been looked at as, I think most coaches say, at least they want to develop their own players, not depend on the transfer portal. Interesting statistic, though. Indiana and Ole Miss, both in the Final Four, Do you know over 60% of their starters come from the portal? Miami, yeah. A third team, it's over 50%.
Yep.
And it appears the teams that we always looked at as the ultimate teams, the premier teams, premier programs, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, they not only have recruited the best over the years, but over the last couple of years have invested a lot of their money in the high school players. It sounds good. But they're no longer in, they're not part of the Final Four anymore. I guess a long way of asking, has the portal now become the way to build your program?
Yes. Yes and no. I think my opinion is if there's not any kind of reform to this calendar and the transferring rules and being able to transfer every single year, I think those numbers will go up. Now, I think there's going to be some reform because there's so much noise already to have some kind of change. But what worries me is antitrust laws and the ability to sue. Until that gets taken care of from Congress, and then we can move forward with some of this stuff. But I mean, man, just a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you how I was like so disappointed. I heard some other national media talk about it, about how USC was posting graphics about their guys re-signing. Like it was like an NFL free agency and they were signing the contract, yeah. Right? Yeah. To me, that was just like a bad look for college football, but I guess it is what it is. Now everybody's doing
it. Yes.
You know, and now even Penn State, who, you know, is usually a little bit different, old school-ish. Everybody's doing it. I'm coming back. I'm not coming back. It's just, it's crazy. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, the one, as someone following Penn State football, I now need to hear these players say they're coming back. You know, the default is no longer, hey, just assume if they don't say anything, they're coming back. Mm-hmm. But the part that actually gets to me, Mike, is the players who have used up their eligibility. They're done.
They want to stay. Why wouldn't you want to stay? I would want to stay.
Yeah, but why are they announcing I'm declaring for the draft? Well, you know, either that or you're declaring I'm going to work.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Don't write a whole thesis. Nobody's reading that crap. Just write, I'm coming back or I'm not. Because I'm tired of having to look through it and say, all right, where's he saying, all right, however, or saying, therefore, or with that said, I'm coming back or I'm declaring. We don't need all of that, like, 50,000 paragraphs. Nobody cares about that. I'm getting over the nuances of these kids anymore. And, like, one of my best friends from back home, he's a high school coach in Columbus, and he's always talking about these high school kids. I'm like, some of these high school kids are the worst to recruit right now because they've grown up and they've been wired to get all this attention and be recruited. The top guys, right? These guys that, you know, Penn State's are recruiting, they got all kinds of other people, suitors for them, right? And then there's the money. There's the bottom line that comes into it. All right, but you might be recruiting this kid 2-3 years, but it doesn't matter if that bottom line at USC comes in and it's much higher at the, you know, the 10th hour. Like, that doesn't matter. Then that kid comes in, okay, and I'll – perfect example, Olish, right, just announced that he's leaving, right?
Yes.
Like, back in, I guess, my day, in the 2000s, early 2000s, like, that kid would be a stud after 2 years of developing, right? They don't want to develop. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to develop. And that's sad to me. Like, you lose an Olish who is still has such a high ceiling and still has so much to develop physically and mentally. And now he's going to go through this portal, you know, hamster wheel, which, you know, it works out for people, but I think I heard something Coach Calipari said, and Again, I'm old school, I guess. You know, I play for Rich Rodriguez, and, you know, soft is the worst thing you could be called, and you got to be tough, this and that, you know, just old school.
Yeah.
But I really think there is a mental health aspect to this where, like, say I was getting, you know, X amount of money, and say I was just, like, middle of the road. And middle of the road is usually around somewhere around 100 grand a year, right, give or take, depending on the position where you stand on the roster. But say I'm making 100, right? It takes a lot of people to work themselves up in the workforce to get to that type of salary. Like, you're not just going to – football is not just going to end. You're going to have a 100,000-plus salary job waiting for you, right? So what are these guys preparing and doing for themselves to get ready for that? Because it's way different than an NFL guy. An NFL guy, he's old, he's 40, he's done. He's going to golf, whatever. You know, and he maybe do some extra little things on the side, but he's made. He's got his family and everything. These kids are just starting their lives. And so they're going to go from being having a lot of money in their hands in a very weird place to have a lot of money in college, which people just don't have money. And that's part of why college is good for people, right? Then they're going to go to being, and not all of them, but a lot of them aren't going to make the NFL. And now they're going to be scrambling for that same type of money, which probably isn't going to be there right away. So how is that going to affect them mentally? I know for me, I think that would really screw me up, and I think it would screw up a lot of people when you see, you know, Instagram pictures of these high school kids, or not high school kids, excuse me, these college kids, you know, with their Gucci bags, their J's, they're going to these nice ass restaurants, you're going all over these places, but that's a part of their budget. But what's going to happen when they're still 21, 22, and that's not there anymore, and that's not in their budget, right? They're still immature, you know, that, like, I worry about that. I think Coach Cal has an agenda, as he always does, I think, when it comes to, you know, his I don't know, whatever you call them, his rants. But I think there is some validity to what he said.
There's so much to unpack in what you just talked about. A couple of
things. I know.
First, we started with these announcements. I didn't realize how religious all of these young players are. Because you notice, they all pray on this decision. And I'm waiting for, Mike, the honest announcement. I want someone to announce, I held this after long conversations with my agent, we became aware that it's in my best financial interest to enter the portal. He's already talked to coaches at different programs, and I stand to double my salary. So with all that said, screw you, current program. On my way out the door to double my salary. I want one guy, just one guy, to make that announcement, Mike. And, you know, the fact is, too, when the majority of these guys who are saying that they're announcing for the draft, that's great you're announcing for the draft. Most of you aren't going to be drafted, okay? So hopefully, you know, an undrafted free agent, you get your shot. The other part to this is you talked about where these guys are going to be mentally after you're making six figures, some of these guys seven figures right now, is in a couple – the majority of them will not be playing in the NFL. This is their last paycheck. So, by the way, I don't have an issue with someone who says I could go double my salary by entering the portal. This may be your last chance of making that kind of money. But what I wonder, I don't know if you saw this, Bo Prabula. I saw him being interviewed and talking about the money, and he talked about how he's investing his money, saving it. And he would know, because he's talking about his peers, how these guys around him are spending all the money on cars and restaurants and women and nothing that would last very long. Mike, I am sure we are going to see a lot of sad stories about these former stars of college football.
Yeah, and good. And another part of it too is like having the resources at each program to help with this. I know Coach Franklin, Lauren Gepper, Jordan Hill, former player, Dan Kabbala, LB, Brett. Gosh, they had a whole squad that was just dedicated to helping with leases, right? Don't screw up that lease, right? Yeah. And like the leases that these guys are getting, they're not just like, you know, some trap house in Bellefonte, you know, that I was staying at when I moved back. They're staying in these really nice places that should cost a lot of money. Plus, then you add a car note to them, to their, you know, to their life. Like, it's important to have those people, especially having like a female perspective, like Lauren did. I thought was really good. She's kind of like a older sister, mom-ish type to those guys.
Yeah.
And Jordan Hill is kind of the former player, kind of like, hey, bro, you can't do this. Like, no, this is the way you want to do things, that type of deal. So, like, it's important to have those people in programs to help with that.
It really is. And when we come back, Mike, I want to ask you about, I think also it's short-sighted among players. I mentioned I don't have a problem with the guy saying, I'm entering the portal, I'm going to double my salary. But – there's also advantages of starting and finishing at a program for multiple reasons. And we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number 3. I'm Jim. He's Mike. We're talking, well, not just Penn State football, and we will get to Penn State, but just this overall what's going on with the portal. And here's the other thing, Mike, that I think these players miss out on is by going from school to school to school to school, it's tougher to maintain any academics because you've got to transfer credits. And a lot don't get taken care of. I would love to see what is the numbers for these guys who transfer multiple times as far as graduating. And the other part that gets lost is the value. I can speak of Penn State specifically. I'm a Penn State grad. And through my career, my non-athletic career, Mike, okay, how many times I ran into fellow Penn State graduates and how that helped me business-wise. And it wasn't a case of, oh, Jim, you're a Penn State grad, I'll give you a job. But it's a starting point for conversations on sales calls. And, you know, my better half used to just shred me, would go on vacation and I'd wear Penn State t-shirts and so on. And she'd be, do you really have to do that? Whether it's a golf course in Florida, a beach, you know, Myrtle Beach, you run into people, you start conversations, you make connections, and it makes a difference. And I'm a non-athlete. I can imagine, what is the value of players who, they come into Penn State, they have 4 years at Penn State, they get a Penn State degree, the networking and the connections they make can help them for the rest of their lives. I don't think they're aware of that, Mike.
Nah, it's not on their priority when they're making decisions. I think it's on there. I think it's they talk about it, but it's not the priority, and it's gonna, you know, move the needle for them when it's making a decision, which is unfortunate, right? I think EJ Manuel on former Florida State quarterback.
Yes.
He's on Sports Talk Radio now. Does a nice job. He talks about like, where are these guys going to go back to? And like, isn't it like going back to homecoming, seeing your boys, seeing some of your friends with their kids now?
at that school. Like, there's something special about that. And these kids don't have that. They don't have that connection. You know what I mean? These quarterbacks that are transferring 3, 4, 5 times. You know, they don't have that. I remember personally, you know, I wasn't a great athlete. I was good enough to get a scholarship, which is great. And then my junior year, I had a pretty good junior year. I played tight end. And then I was looking to have a pretty big, you know, role might come in my senior year. My roommate and one of my best friends at the time was Owen Schmidt, you know, the runaway keg, beer keg, they used to call him. He played that fullback, that H-back. They split him out. They put him in 20 personnel. And he was just a stud, right? So what they did with him is they tweaked the offense so that they just kept him on the field because Coach Rodriguez wanted to move fast, play fast, yeah, right? That was spot the ball. That was his deal. Well, keeping Owen in the game as a fullback, running back, slot, tight end, they could play fast without making substitutions. So that winter, we're going over personnel and formations after workouts and stuff. And I saw the writing on the wall, and it was really disappointing because, you know, I'd been there 4 years, going to my fifth year. And I thought about transferring. And this is a time you really didn't think about that. But, you know, I thought, you know, maybe I'll just go back to Youngstown State and, you know, have a good year, have a fun year, play ball for Youngstown, my hometown. And, but then at the end of the day, like, I had so much invested in that team and, you know, that school, all the support people that, you know, put their hand on me and helped me in so many different ways. My now wife, was there with me. Like, I didn't want to do that. And I'm glad to this day, even though I didn't like play a ton like I wanted to, I still played a couple snaps here, but I was part of the team, and I'm happy I stayed, because we had such an amazing senior year, even though it ended with a big loss. But it was an awesome year, and some of those memories and those guys, like, it's unfortunate, right, for these kids that aren't going to experience that, you know. So yeah, so I guess that's our soapbox part right there. But yeah, that's it sucks.
You know, what is it? Too soon, old, too late, wise. You know, you could understand that now at 40 something. It's a little tougher when you're 20 years old and someone is waving money in front of you.
I'd be dead. Jim, just for the record, I was a wild guy in college, and if I had any type of that money, I'd be dead. I would be dead. You'd find me in a river.
Well, yeah, I think back, you know, when we used to, I got an extra $10, you know. A case of pony bottles at the Rathskeller. That's, you know.
Oh, it's so funny. Well, my buddy, I just told you about Spees, who's the coach of Columbus. He would visit me for game days and stuff. We went out one night with Owen, and our one spot was called the Lazy Lizard, right? And it was
classy
joint. Probably a lot of underage people in there, but it was fun, right? It was a good spot, and that's where all the players and our football cliques went. And we would like have like $50. And you would think we were like some big Vegas hotshot out there buying shots for everybody. I can't imagine having six figures or seven figures. I'd be dead.
Well, here's, as long as we're going to the Wayback Machine and talking, I remember when I graduated college and got my first job, it was a national company. We had offices throughout the country. They would send us to the young people they hired out of college. They would send us to the headquarters, which happened to be in San Antonio. If you've never been to San Antonio,
I have.
What a party town, right?
Really cool place.
We're all 21 years old. They have us all together. And we are on expense reports, the kind where you write yourself a check for the day. Okay, we would get, so at that time, I'm talking, you know, 40 years ago, Mike, it was like maybe 25 or 30 bucks for the day, which was pretty big money then for a day. And the group of us, we would just collect that money and we would hit a bar and just drink ourselves crazy. We were 21 years old. The only difference between our college days and these days is we had a little bit of cash and we had to wear a suit and tie. Okay.
Or what about, Or what about it? Like, now we're going to get this casino. What are those areas that I'd be at the casino with that check? I'm putting my whole check on red. I say that. I bring that up because I was at Pittsburgh. I was at Rivers Casino for the first time not too long ago. Uh-huh. And it was really busy. It's my first time there, but there was a ton of like pit college students, younger professionals. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is really cool to have for like a college student around. But yeah, but if I'm Drew Allar and I get that check,
and like you said, put the entire check on red. Seemed like a good idea at the time. absolutely bonkers. All right, Mike, let's switch gears. Let's start talking about actual Penn State and what is going on. And it's actually pretty exciting. I'm sure a bit scary. A lot of work going on. But like the number of players entering the portal, it's now over 30, maybe approaching 40. I got to assume, though, this was expected, was it not?
Yeah, it definitely was. I kind of expected, to be honest, like, you got to give kudos, you know, as a Penn State fan, you guys, like, really should appreciate what Coach Campbell, Derek, the GM, and the personnel staff and the coaches are doing right now. Not only just retaining some of these coaches and bringing in some of these talented coaches, but retaining the guys that we wanted to retain. Look, there's a lot of guys on that roster or out of those 30 guys that probably would have moved on regardless. They probably said, hey, it's probably best moving forward. The one that I already brought it up, but I hate seeing Olish leave after 1 year. But I guess I'll put myself in his shoes. I guess, you know, as a top player, he wants to play. Luke Reynolds went in the portal because I'm sure there was a conversation that they're going to bring in that big all Big 12 tight end, and then Rapp stays. So you'd understand the dynamics that are in front of you. So he decides to leave, but to like bringing back. I told you before, like Rapp is one of my favorites. I think he's a future Jeremy Shockey, Mackey Award winner or finalist. You bring him in and you bring this guy in from that 6'7", 260 and can play
Ben Brommer
combo in this offense. Man, that is exciting. And then you get the Tony Rojas's, you get some of those guys, Max Granville. I tell you, the one that hurt, and I talked to a couple insiders about it, was Xavier Gilliam. Yes. I always liked him. He was kind of he didn't get a lot of pub, but at that position and what he brought to the table, he's a critical piece. Defensive tackles, but he probably saw his value and be able to put his name on the market out there and made it work. Probably didn't help that Deion left. But you know, he might have left regardless if Deion would stay, but that one hurt. But other than that, you know, Gronk, I understand Gronk. We talked last week. We love Gronk. I absolutely love Gronk. I think Gronk and Rapp are my favorite players. But I understand Gronk going into the portal. And I understand, like, the staff riding with Rocco Beck, a proven guy, a winner, right, that knows the system. Like, it just makes sense. That just makes sense. So you can't hate against that.
No, and we're going to hit this a little bit, Mike, you know, by position, But I think the point is, it's not just a player decision. It's a player decision and a coaching decision. The coach will he will put weight on who he wants to stay. We'll talk about it more when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Mike, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. We're finally hitting specifics with Penn State, and you brought up some examples, and they're the tight end group, the quarterback group, their positions. I think fans are very well aware of who the players are, who the guys are, and they're good examples. And I think Coach Campbell and his staff have identified, as you put it, the guys that they really want to have stay. That's not a guarantee that they will stay. Because, again, the portal, it's free agency. They could go out there and, make a pretty good living. Now, we talk about with the quarterback, and the room got emptied completely. Grunkmeyer, Smola, Kritza, all gone. This is where a coach, you and I have talked about the value of that quarterback position. It seems like Rocco Beck will be the guy. But not only that, you've got a true freshman from Iowa State quarterback who they apparently thought very highly of. And remember, we also have another quarterback recruit, a commitment from who was committed to Iowa State, the kid from Texas. So all of a sudden, you could go from this empty quarterback room to having three guys who were part of Matt Campbell's plan already at Iowa State all follow him here.
I mean, I think it was expected, right? We kind of expected this. We wanted to see the right ones come, right?
right.
So I think he had all those meetings with the players, kind of got a feel for what people were going to do with the portal. So now he's filling those gaps for those guys that are leaving. It's pretty easy. It's pretty cut and dry. All right, where do we got to fill these holes? All right, the quarterback. Okay, they did it through the high school, plus Peyton Falzone in that room. That's what they're doing now. Defensive tackle is going to be a big position to fill. So, there's a couple guys here today visiting. So we'll see how that all works out. But honestly, I don't think you could have asked for a better start to this portal season with a staff that just got here, figuring everything out in the building and all the different nuances of new staff, new administration, like getting these guys to stay and getting some of these guys to come in. Like, it's pretty impressive what they're doing right now.
Well, and if you go through a little bit where they're cherry picking, players from the current team, I think you hit it right, especially at defensive tackle. That's an area they could really need help. We talked about quarterback. The answer seems pretty obvious, starting with Rocco Beck, and perhaps we'll hear something fairly quickly on it. You mentioned tight end. You lose multiple talented players from that tight end room, like a Luke Reynolds, but you keep a Rapelier and this Ben Brommer, very good player from Iowa State coming in. Tight end seems to be in pretty good shape. Yeah. At running back, there were multiple promising young running backs. We saw what Quentin Martin could do. Quentin Martin is coming back. You also, by coincidence, there's a pretty good Iowa State running back who's also in the portal. But you also look around at different positions. Linebacker, you know, you have Tony Rojas come back. You have Alex Tash has said he's coming back. I think the next question mark there is, you know, Amari Campbell. And I don't think he is announced yet, right?
No, he has not. I think that one's going to be a tough one. But we'll see how it plays out. But obviously having Tash and Rojas being the foundation of that room is really good. So I think anybody that comes in could supplement those guys.
The other place that I look at that seems pretty solid at cornerback, a couple guys that you've talked about quite a bit, that you'll Darius Dixon, Jamaire Joseph, two of the young guys are coming back.
Yep. Yeah,
along
Jameer,
with veteran Zion Tracy and Davian Collins.
Yeah. I'd like to see it'll be interesting what they do with Zion, because Zion kind of did that safety. He kind of was which is great for him. Makes him versatile. But yeah, I like Zion. There's some stuff that he can do to clean up, definitely, in his game, but overall he still has a high ceiling. Darius Dixon, I think he's in the NFL in 2 years. And then Jamaire Joseph has limited reps, but the reps you guys did see, like you guys saw the flashes, like he has a high ceiling, could be special too. So yeah, to your point, Jim, like we're sitting pretty on the back end too of the defense right now. It's just depth, right? And like, not to go on a tangent, but it goes back to what you said about the Alabamas and why it's just changed now. Alabamas and SEC, those schools are not, they can't do this stuff. They can't stockpile talent. So then once a championship team leaves, they got the next five stars up there. The five stars aren't waiting anymore. That's why NIL, before NIL, was perfect for old Nick Saban, because nobody else was doing it. But now everybody's doing it, and there's somewhat of a structure to it. It's led to this parity, which I actually love. I couldn't love anything more. I know I'm a Penn State guy, I'm a fan, but I couldn't love the Indiana story more.
Oh, you know, it's Exhibit A of how you could build a team quickly. And by the way, yes, that beatdown against Alabama, there's got to be, you know, 95% of the college football fan base was just reveling in it. So everyone but Paul Feinbaum was reveling in it.
He admitted that the SEC, it may be over, that whole run, you know, that dominance. Like, we got two Big Ten teams in the Final Four right now. We have a good chance to go three in a row. Heck yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I do too. I think, you know, for those who are all so critical about the transfer portal and NIL, I think that is the positive from it all. We've got Ole Miss, we've got Miami, we've got Indiana, all part of this Final Four. That's great stuff as just a purely college football fan. So anyway, you know, back to Penn State, I do want to hit a couple more positions. I think offensive line is a place where you want depth so badly, but I think it's great, especially if you start with Anthony Donka and Cooper Cousins. That's a pretty good starting point for this offensive line.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see a lot of those young guys that we talked about when we first started this show with me, that I talked about, that I really like, that are promising. From the time that I talked about at first, you know, they put on a lot of good weight. You know, they developed with Trout. Now they're going with, you know, they got a new coach. So I think when you get a new coach, you're kind of re-energized in a sense, because now it's going to be he's going to do things way differently than that's just – he's going to do things his way, right? So getting adapted to the new coach. And from what I've seen and heard, like, this coach has got a lot of juice. These guys are going to love him. So the Alessinis, Garrett Sextons,
Chimney Ono is back.
Chimney. I love Chimney. I've always liked Chimney. And my other guy, I'm forgetting. We offered him at Virginia Tech. It was like one of his first offers. Why can't I forget him? From North Carolina. He looks like he looked like a tight end at the bowling alley. I don't know. But either way, he was starting to get a lot of good reps in games this season. So I think we're looking good there. I think they may add a piece or two from the portal.
Well, they already have from this Will Tompkins from Iowa State, and a young guy, Mason Brandhauer, again from Iowa State. And see, that's the part I've heard some people say, oh, you're bringing in these three-star guys from Iowa State. Well, guess what? You know, Indiana built their team on these two-star guys from James Madison. Yeah. And what Matt Campbell has the ability to do is, yes, it's a bunch of three-star guys at Iowa State, but he's cherry-picking. He's picking the best of the lot. He's not just, hey, opening his door and saying, hey, you played for me, Iowa State, come on over here. He could pick and choose the very best ones that he wants.
Yeah. From another tangent, Jim, this triggers with me is what stars they are. I hate the star system, and I get it. I get how people love it. It's cool to see you got a four-star, three-star, but how do they get those stars, right? It's a bogus system, and that's what's really appealing to the staff. They're not going to look at stars, and if he's a five-star and he's good, they're going to recruit the heck out of him. But we're not going to recruit. They're not going to recruit stars. They're going to recruit players and guys that have ceilings and they can develop and fit the culture. And that's what they've done with those guys at Iowa State, and that's why they win. They have a great eye for evaluation. They develop them, and then now you got these grown men. Like, dude, that tight end is a grown man. He's huge, right? These linemen are big, grown men with a ton of reps in the Big 12. Like, that's huge, right? So, like, regardless if they're a three star in high school, who gives a crap? Linemen are the last to develop. So. And I learned that at Mississippi State. There was a ton of guys at Mississippi State that we didn't go on from high school. 2 years later, they're like the top JUCO prospects because they developed, right? They're bigger humans. So, yeah, I don't know. You're going to see me, especially with this new staff, become even more vocal about my hate for the star system.
And by the way, this is where the transfer portal and the advantage to going there is. Your four or five star high school player hasn't proven anything yet. Your three star who's been starting for the last 2 years in a Power Four conference, he's got the better resume. Okay. He may not have the more stars, but he's the more proven entity. And that's, that's why I think, you know, this mindset that there's only one way to build a team, which is a high school recruit with four and five stars. I don't think, Mike, that will ever go away, that you want those guys, those top high school players. However, as we said when we started the show, over 60% of the players, Indiana and Ole Miss, came from the portal, their starters. Mike, that's the final word. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.